You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Buckeyes fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. And today's episode is brought to you by the live NBA Draft Show. Check out NBA Draft GOAT Chad Ford, Locked On NBA Draft host Rafael Barlow, and Locked On NBA host John Corrales as they'll be live covering the NBA Draft. Follow Locked On NBA on YouTube today and watch the live coverage, which starts July 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is Wednesday, July 28th in the year 2021. And no matter if you're listening to the audio version of the podcast or if you're watching us on youtube.com/LockedOnBuckeyes, I want to thank you for making Locked On Buckeyes a part of your day. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at JStevens07. You can also follow the podcast on Twitter as well at Locked On Buckeye. Lineup for today in segment number two, we're going to talk about some things that we can highlight and take from Chris Holtmann's press conference media availability on Tuesday afternoon. Segment three, continuing our Buckeye road trip around the NFL. Today we are down talking to Tony Wiggins about some Buckeyes that play for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But before we get to any of that, we open today's show with the latest commitment for the Ohio State Buckeyes, not on the football side, but on the basketball side. Four-star recruit Felix Akpara, a top 50 recruit according to 24/7 Sports, number two player in the state of Tennessee, number nine center in the entire country. He plays at Hamilton Heights Christian Academy in Chattanooga, Tennessee. 6'11", 210-pound center. You can't teach that height. When I watch this young man play the basketball, he plays like he is 6'11", 210 pounds. Now, not the light 210, a sturdy and solid 210, but still he plays and he looks like he has a slender frame on him. Now, granted, he is a junior in high school. You do expect him to build up his body, put some muscle on. Now, do I expect Antetokounmpo kind of build up to go from 190 to 240, gains 50 pounds of muscle once he gets to the National Basketball Association? I don't know about all of that, but I do bet that there is a good chance this young man, once he gets to Ohio State, because he committed earlier this week, once he gets to Ohio State, he will put on some weight because his frame right now, it's cool for the high school brand of basketball that he is playing. That's 6'11", 210. Unless you're a stretch four, even then, you got to put some weight on because it's big boy basketball, the Big Ten, baby. And I'm very, very, very glad Chris Holtmann fills a need for the 2022 recruiting class. We all have seen kind of how Chris Holtmann has kind of built this roster. 2021 recruiting class, Michi Johnson, Malachi Branham, Kalen Etzler, who we will talk about in the very next segment. Actually, all three of them. We can highlight some things about all three of them. But there were no bigs. Chris Holtmann went out, got Joey Brunk from Indiana University as a grad transfer, someone that Holtmann recruited when Holtmann was at Butler, and Brunk played high school basketball on the south side of Indianapolis, Indiana. So there was always that connection there. But however, even though there was that connection, you got Zed Key. Zed Key's 6'8". You got Kyle, well, maybe 6'10", whatever. He's not tall, tall. I don't think he's 6'10". I thought he was 6'8", possibly 6'8". The roster is not in front of me. You got Kyle Young, who's 6'8", but this is his last year. You need more size. And I don't think it's advantageous for Holtmann, you know, it's possible, to consistently go to the transfer portal to fill an immediate need. You want to get that through the recruitment, through the high school ranks, maybe a JUCO. But constantly, JUCO, you can get 2 years. A lot of these guys you're throwing, they're transferring. You want to get 1 year out of them. And sometimes you may get a guy like Seth Towns, who unfortunately had an injury while he was at Harvard. He had to overcome, and ultimately overcoming said injury kind of derailed him and slowed how productive he could have been last year. Felix Akpara, I hope I'm saying his name correctly. Some things that popped off the screen when I watched this young man play the basketball: he is a rim protector. If you're 6'11", you're not a rim protector. I really wonder what. Now you can say Dirk Nowitzki's not a rim protector. This is true, but Dirk was a different type of cat. HOFer, Hall of Famer. For those of you that don't know the slang, HOFer. That's Dirk Nowitzki going to the Dallas Mavericks, way in that area there. But if you're 6'11", especially Big Ten basketball, you better be able to protect the rim. You better be able to do it without fouling. That's another thing that I liked about this young man, Mr. Felix, that he is good at keeping his arms straight up with the verticality. I find that numerous big men, no matter what level they're playing at, have a hard time with the verticality. They have a hard time keeping their arms straight and not fouling while going up for blocks. Mr. Okpara does that very, very well. He plays like he has long arms. I mean, you watch basketball, you see numerous guys that are big and that are tall, but they don't play like they're big or tall. The difference between tall man and big man. Tall man versus big man. Watch basketball, you'll see some guys that are tall that are literally tall man because they're not playing like big man. Just because somebody is tall does not mean they're automatically big man. Sometimes big man, sometimes tall means literally tall man. There are different skill sets for those two as well. One last thing about Mr. Okpara I want to highlight. He can hit the three, but I wouldn't put an emphasis on it. He can slash to the rim when he's on the outside. He's more of an inside scorer. Well, when he does put the ball in the basket. But there's one thing I want to highlight about this recruiting class 2022. Very, very similar, same connection. One thing that the Ohio State football and basketball recruiting classes currently have in the class of 2022, they are both the number one ranked class, recruiting class, in 2022 via the 247 Sports rankings, recruiting rankings. 5-1, I'll say them for you. 5 in football. Football first. Alabama's at 5. LSU is at 4. Notre Dame at 3. Penn State 2. Ohio State 1. In basketball, UCLA 5. Illinois 4, 3 with Arkansas, 2 North Carolina, and 1 Ohio State. Very, very surprised to not see the Duke Blue Devils right there in the thick of things. But with Coach K leaving, John Shire coming in, I understand. But it's still weird to see Duke not in the top 5, even at this point right now in the recruiting cycle. Mr. Okpara, very, very happy that you committed to be a Buckeye. Let's step away very, very quickly. When we come back, we will discuss what we learned from Chris Holtmann from his media availability on Tuesday afternoon. But first, check this out. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC / MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to betonline.ag on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and even contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to betonline.ag on your laptop or mobile device to sign up today. And when you do, make sure you use that promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and you'll receive 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. And as we roll on to continue today's episode here of Locked On Buckeyes, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. If this is your first time checking out the podcast, either audio or video way of listening or checking it out, I want to say welcome. Or if it's your first time in a long time, I want to say welcome back. Make sure you subscribe to the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. I don't know what's going through my head right now. Spotify, or subscribe to the YouTube channel, as you are helping us build that every single day. As the video is there every day, some extra little added shorter segments that are there every day, just picking some segments out of the show, out of an episode, put it in a smaller portion, 7, 8, 9 minute area, quick consume that thing, go back to what you're doing prior to checking out that video. Episodes coming out every Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, to help you stay up to date with your Ohio State Buckeye football and basketball teams. Chris Holtmann We got a lot from Ryan Day last week. We got a lot from Chris Holtmann this week. Last Friday, the Buckeye football team dominated. They were the center of attention at the Big Ten Media Days in Indianapolis, Indiana. Just yesterday, Chris Holtmann sat down and talked to the media. One of the first things he talked about and highlighted was how happy and excited he was to have the media back and to see them face-to-face while in the media availability. As many of you know, and Dan Hope mentioned yesterday, a lot of things last year, over the past year, year and a half, they were done over the Zoom. This podcast is still going to be one that when there's guests, mainly when there's guests, will do things over the Zoom or different ways to record different podcasts, video-wise, to connect people from different locations. And Chris Holtmann highlighted how happy he was to see the media again. And he said, it's kind of weird for a coach to say that, but I truly mean it. He didn't really have that many. His opening remarks weren't really that long. He didn't really have much. He had some things to say, but he wanted to make a couple comments very, very quickly and then get right to the questions that the media had. Lasted, I believe, about 45 minutes, a little over 45 minutes. So he did take a lot of time, 30 plus minutes or so, answering questions from the media. One thing he mentioned when he was talking in his opening statement, he said freshman Kalen Etzler will be redshirting this season. This is something that was discussed during the recruiting process. I was not sure what role he would fit immediate need for the team. Yes, I think he will fill a need and a role down the road. I actually believe he'll be down the road will be a starter at the three position. 6'8" wing, can slash, can cut, can hit that three, can dunk on people. I mean, he's going to be a great piece for Chris Holtmann. But Holtmann believes right now redshirting would be the best move for him moving forward. There was a question. I forget if Holtmann mentioned this or a writer asked him or a media member asked him about JT Tuimoloau and the possibility of him playing both football and basketball. Holtmann said he does not want to get in the way of a national championship or a future for or really a future first round pick. He said JTT, there is a possibility of him walking on during in the middle of the season at the end of the football season. Since football is a focus, it'd be very, very weird and rare for a guy to come in, especially when there's no scholarship for him, come in after the football season and be a big piece of the basketball team. I just be very, very rare. I know of a guy that's in my from my hometown, actually. I was born in Fort Wayne, Indiana. There was a guy there named James Hardy that played basketball and football in college. He was no JTT as far as like nationally known guy that everybody and their mom knew around the country. He was not that, but he did play the football and the basketball at Indiana University. Is very, very hard to do. I actually asked David Bell from Purdue at Big Ten Media Days if he ever thought about playing both sports, because he played both high school football and basketball in Indianapolis, Indiana, won a state championship actually in both. And he said it doesn't work out because the schedule is too tough, because you get done with football, You're going to miss basketball, because by the time football's over, you're going to get right into January because of bowl season. Well, the basketball team's going right into league play. So you're in your football body, not in the basketball shape just yet. And all of a sudden, you got to go against all these dogs in the Big Ten. He's like, it just didn't work out with my body. It just didn't work out with the timing and scheduling that was there. Chris Holtmann made a comment about some things that happened in the offseason, some offseason work. The team did not do a lot of teamwork until July. Prior to that, the main focus was one-on-one work. He did highlight and talk about how with Dwayne Washington Jr. and EJ Liddell going through the pre-draft process, it was very, very hard for him to do teamwork when you don't know if those guys are going to come back to you. You're not sure what's going to happen with are you going to get Jr. and Liddell? Are you going to get Junior or Liddell? Are you going to get Liddell and not Junior? Are you not going to get either one? You just don't know what's going to happen. So instead of doing teamwork without having a full team, he waited and said, we'll just do one-on-one work. Take this time to perfect some things that we can do one-on-one and then do team stuff once we know what our roster will be. He did make a comment and said the team will play three guard lineups throughout the season. It's kind of expected with the guards that Ohio State has right now. He's excited about the young guards that he has. Chris Holtmann is excited about the growth and attitude of Malachi Branham. Did highlight a couple things about him. His body is still maturing, and his ball skills have continued to grow. made a couple comments about how in high school, Branham was asked to play all over. And sometimes you're asked to play all over, your ball handling and your ball skills, they may be good at that level, but you don't get a chance to perfect them, improve them. And he has seen the improvement there from Malachi Branham. Some things that he got, some news, some comments he got from the NBA people that he talked to in regards to E.J. Liddell. There are three things that they highlighted that Liddell needs to work on and to fix, right, for him to be a better pro prospect. The top two are the most important. They kind of hinted at the third one. First, consistent shooting. The second, defensive versatility. And three, ball handling. I think if you watch and look at Liddell's game, those, all three of them are things that if you're a 6'6", 240, you're kind of an in-between guy. One thing that you see from P.J. Tucker, a little bit shorter, stocky, sturdy guy, solid frame. He might weigh 240. One thing with P.J. Tucker, he knows his role. Defense is his calling card. Defense is what he does very, very well. Yes, he can hit that corner three, but I don't see Liddell hitting that corner three. I think that Liddell could do something that P.J. Tucker did, win conference player of the year, but there's a disconnect. With P.J. Tucker's game being what it is, he has a defense. Liddell does not have the defense. Not saying he's a slouch, but doesn't have the defensive versatility like a P.J. Tucker has, something that was a third on the list. I think that should be like two, really, because I know you put emphasis on offense, but I firmly believe the defensive versatility will drastically raise that young man's draft stock. Last but not least, he made a comment about Jamari Wheeler, transferred from Penn State. Said Jamari has brought a competitiveness and defensive approach that Holtman believes the team currently needs. I believe the team needs it. I believe that he's going to be a great asset and benefit to the team. Did also make a comment about the team's defense not really being all awful out there as far as statistically. I think he said a top 20 defense, and I'm like, they're retiring your defense. What that hot coach told me, no matter what the numbers say, but you're the coach. You know better than I do as far as what is the team. I don't think the team defense was horrible consistently, but there were times the defense was not ideal and it needed to improve. We'll step away one more time when we come back. We will welcome in Tony Wiggins, the host of Locked On Jaguars, as we continue our Buckeye road trip around the NFL. First player from the Jacksonville Jaguars, we'll talk about Mr. Devon Hamilton. But first, check this out. Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors plus the occasional limited time flavor as well? When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, well, you're definitely missing out. Coconut and coconut almond, cherry and raspberry, and mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and even salted caramel. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, 130 to 180 calories, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Go to builtbar.com or built.com and use a friendly promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, and you will get 15% off your next order. Once again, go to builtbar.com or Built and use that friendly promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And joining us now here on Locked On Buckeyes, once again, Mr. Tony Wiggins from Locked On Jaguars was with us during the NFL draft, recapping and talking about Luke Farrell and his new home down in Jacksonville. But now he is back, continuing our Buckeye road trip around the NFL. Mr. Wiggins, how you doing today?
I'm great. It's good to be with you always, you and the Buckeye Nation.
Yes, sir. I really appreciate it. Glad you're back and glad you're helping us continue our trip around the NFL, looking at former Buckeyes and what their expectations are for the upcoming season. First guy up today is on the defense, a rookie last season, played in 11 games, started 6, Mr. Devon Hamilton. How do you assess his rookie season?
I actually like it. There was a point where early in the preseason, I tried to watch the tape a little bit. I looked at some reviews from the draft, and I was like, I don't know. You know, and I don't know how this absolutely fits, because what the Jaguars actually needed was penetration. They needed guys who could really disrupt the quarterback, and Devon looked like a pure nose tackle. Then the season started, and actually in the first half of the season, he played better than the guy that was picked 8th overall, the kid that's in Carolina. Devon Hamilton really, really started to show something. Now, let me preface that by saying this. It's hard to see stuff when a team goes 1-15, right? But yes, when sir. You really, yeah, when you really pay attention to how he played, he was very, very disruptive, and he didn't get a lot of sacks, but he created a lot of pressure, and he was a guy that busted through the line a lot. So now my feeling is, I know they went out and they got Malcolm Brown to play nose tackle. Can they move him around a little bit in this new multiple front under Joe Cullen? We're going to take advantage of the fact that, look, 6'4", 325, 330 doesn't, you know, you don't get that very often. And you really don't get it very often when they're able to move around the way that he was able to move around. I think he's really one of the pieces that Urban Meyer are looking forward to playing well this year for Jacksonville.
I sure hope so. I sure hope that there are some things that he can continue to solidify his spot down there in Jacksonville. You mentioned about how you weren't sure if it was going to be him, but now you really like some things that you saw specifically. And if you could get a little nerdy on us, what specifically, anything else that you haven't mentioned that you liked from him in year one?
Well, yeah. The thing is to continue. And
okay,
when you don't have the completion of the season, now I have to think that he's going to go back to square one a little bit with his injury. And that's one of the reasons why they went out and got Malcolm Brown, and they continued to show up the defensive line position. That and the fact that under Joe Cullen, they're going to play like Baltimore. And if you think about Baltimore, when you look at the Ravens, there's always a different guy in the game. It's because they use a lot of rotation, and they're very high octane, and they go mile a minute, and they run a lot of stunts. I think he has an opportunity to come in under the radar if he's healthy, which I think he is. He did not start the season under any kind of injury protocols or the preseason. I think he's got a chance to really, really show up. Like I say, that size and his ability to, in a scheme last year where he was playing nose tackle that didn't really call for him to get pressure, he was able to get pressure. So now I think when you put him next to Malcolm Brown, and the Jaguars had a problem stopping the run the last couple of years, you put him next to Malcolm Brown, now you got two 325-pound space eaters, and you're not hurt by the fact that the kid can't rush the passer, because you saw the penetration. You saw him being disruptive in the backfield last year. And I'm telling you, man, it's just like when you get a young guy who can produce at the NFL level, it's like getting a true freshman in college, and all of a sudden he does something, and you're like, wow. You know, they can continue to build on that. Now with a system that isn't so much of a shell system the way they played defense here in Jacksonville over the last few years, they're going to be multiple. They're going to be different. I think this unit and this coaching staff is really going to be specific and make him do the things that he does well, and don't ask him to do the things that he doesn't do well. And I think that's going to bode well for him and Jacksonville as a whole.
You mentioned his ability to get up the middle and kind of be a tad disruptive. One pass breakup, 5 QB hits last season from the interior of the defensive line. That's not easy. Now, the no. pass breakup, that may happen. I mean, that could be a fluke. Oh, put my hand up. I jump at the right time. That may happen when you're that big, that massive, that tall. You have the length that he does. But those 5 QB hits, those are hard to come by. You get guys that are 3 technique D tackles, they don't get that. You may get some defensive ends that in a 3-4 set that don't get that. So for him to get that from the interior, man, Wiggins, that's tough. That's tough. And that's a sign for a team that went 1-15. That's a sign of hope, a promise that hopefully he can do that in year number 2.
It absolutely is a sign, and you're right. You look at the stats and you go, there ain't nothing to shake a stick at, right? But then you have to watch the game. So the stats, people say numbers don't lie, but I always say numbers also don't tell the whole story. Yes, and sir. When you watch him play, when you watch the game, you saw him flash a lot more. So the difference between getting a sack and a quarterback hurry is about this big. And then the difference between getting a quarterback hurry and actually making the quarterback throw the ball without you getting credit for that hurry is also this big. And when you watch him play, consider this. Now, they were 1-15, means people were running the ball because the Jaguars, they were behind all the time. So if he gets a chance with other people around him and other parts of this situation where you have Caleb Von Chason, who didn't do much last year. You have Josh Allen, who didn't do much last year. That's a first round rookie from 2020 and a first guy from 2019 that was supposed to make a lot of noise. the bottom line is when you saw him, he was not a liability. And he was able to stuff the run the way that everyone expected him to. So like you said, when you get those pressures and you get those quarterback hurries and it's really not a part of your responsibility, then it kind of sticks out and it resonates with people that actually watch the game minute by minute.
Tony, anything else you want to leave us with Devon Hamilton about what we can expect from him next year?
I'll tell you what you do know is this. The staff here coached him at Ohio State. So that's a good thing. They know him. They recruited him. They know what kind of cloth he's cut from. They probably advised teams when he was in the draft that led him to be a third-round pick in the first place. So when you get that familiarity and you get that understanding, it helps communication and what's to be expected. And you combine that with the fact that he put something on paper last year for the Jaguars before he got hurt. And because he did that, like I said, I'll go back to this, 6'4", 325, 330, he's 22, 23 years old. I think anybody in the league would love that, but I know Joe Cullen is chomping at the bit to have a guy that big and that active on the interior of that defensive line, even just to take up blockers so that guys like Miles Jack can run and flow to the ball. That stuff is underrated. You know, a lot of times nose tackles don't get the stats and don't get the credit that people that they deserve to get because no one really understands exactly what their job is. You know what sometimes their job is to make the linebackers be able to run clean and go make tackles and clean up a mess. So I really do believe that because of the fact that there's familiarity with staff and familiarity with expectations, along with that he independently put something on tape last year, I think the sky's the limit for him, and I think the Jaguar fans should be hopeful.
I sure hope so. I believe Buckeye fans are very excited. If you could, Tony, very quickly, let everybody know where they can catch you on Twitter and also where they can catch your show as well.
Shop Talking Wig is what it is, man. You know, that name is because I've been a barber for 30 years and I run my mouth all the time, as you can tell. So it's Shop Talking Wig on Twitter. Locked on Jaguars Monday through Friday, every single day. And Locked on NFL on Wednesdays, along with James Rapine, who covers the Bengals on a daily basis. And we get it in on the Locked on NFL Today, Locked on NFL podcast.
And guys, you can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. We will continue this trend all week long. This is not the only time Tony will be with us. Check back tomorrow to see what Buckeye player Tony and I talk about.